You're good.
What'd you say? Get the stuff out of my way here. Well, Pastor Blair should be in St. Joe this evening, and Gina's praying that he has enough vitality left in his body to drive home tonight. So I'm not too sure what the schedule is, but continue to pray for our pastor, and he should be back tomorrow at the latest, tonight at the earliest. And to my knowledge, everything's safe and good, so that's a blessing. Whenever I preach, I send my mom a CD. You know how mothers are, they always want to hear what you're doing. And my mom always gives me advice. My mom has never preached a message in her life, but she sure does know how to tell me how to preach. And sometimes the things she says to me, I almost feel like I have to come the next Sunday and apologize to you, because my mother has certainly a wonderful relationship with God, and she wants me to love you and so forth. And I just want to say that every time I'm here, I consider it a privilege, and as God knows my heart, I never mean any harm, I only mean good. I only want to show God's grace and His mercy in our lives so that we can grow together in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This message that I'm preaching today has been mulling around in my own personal life for months. And I'll explain that to you when we look at the first verse, to which is in your outline there, talking about the personages or the characters in the Bible and how these have taken place. The title of the message is Priorities in Life, and I'd like to ask a question. Where did your life come from? And the reason I ask that question is because most of us, I think, would answer that it's my mom and dad. I believe that's wrong. I believe God has given your life. This life that we live is from Him. It just so happens that our parents were the vehicles to bring us in, and it's the way God had done it. Remember when the Garden of Eden, when God created man in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and when He, God, breathed into man, into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living being. It wasn't until God instituted and gave man, who is just made out of dust, the ability to breathe. So it was that God gave Adam the ability to live. And so therefore, could we say, since Adam didn't have a mom and dad, that God gave him his life. From that day forward, we were created not from the dust of the earth, but through a design that God had made. And that's procreation, and that's from our moms and dads. But still, I believe with all my heart, it's God who puts the breath of life within an individual. And I believe that each one of us, we are living a life that is given to us by God, and we need to appreciate the life that we have, even though the life that we have sometimes may not be what we want. The Bible also says that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not only does God give us within the framework of our life, the breath to live, but He also gives us the wisdom of how to live. And I believe when it says everything proceeds out of the mouth of God, that this is something that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. God is the one who sustains me daily. David said that in the Psalms. He said, "You have kept me alive." In Ecclesiastes, it says, "The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." Who gave me the spirit of Dave Cass? Who's given me the life that I live? I don't believe it was my parents. I believe it was God. And the life that I live, I should appreciate the privilege that I have of living for the honor and glory of God. And see that this thing called life that is given to me is very precious, and the designer has designed me for this thing that I am to live out. Isaiah 38 says this, O Lord, by these things men live, and in these is the life of my spirit. O restore to me health, and let me live. Lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness. It is for you who kept my soul from the pit of nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. Notice this. It is the living who give thanks to you as I do today. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. The Lord will surely save me. So we will play my songs on stringed instruments. Notice this. All the days of our life at the house of the Lord. The life that we are given is given to us by God. And I think we need to have a priority within life of appreciating this life that God has given. The book of Acts says, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of every kind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far away from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist, and even some of your poets have said, for we also are his, God's children. I want us to appreciate this because, as we're going to see in the first person and their statement that they make about life, we want to grasp how important life is. Because these statements that these individuals make cheapen life. And I think we have to be careful to hold priorities where they need to be. And we're going to have a thought that we're going to continue and that we're going to try to embed in our thinking today. It's just something I made up as I prepared this. It's not, I can't give anybody credit, or if it's a lousy statement, it's all my fault. But here's what I want us to remember about our thought as we go through this entire study. The priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. You know, in the Bible, there are many people, and as we look at these in this wonderful book called the Bible, sometimes we forget that these people were living in normal circumstances like you and I are. Sometimes we forget that they didn't know the beginning from the end. They didn't know what God was using them or how he was using them. All they were was normal human beings going through life. They weren't privileged like Mary, the mother of Christ, who had an angel come down and say, listen, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to bear a son, and it's all according to the plan of God. There's not many people who had that privilege of being able to know firsthand of what God was doing in their life. But you and I have the privilege of reading the Bible, and the Bible tells us the beginning and the end, and we say, oh, it all fits together. It's just God working behind the scenes. But so often we forget that those individuals who were going through those situations did not know what God was doing. They're just like you and me. Do you know everything that God is doing in your life? Let me just ask a question. What would happen if 200 years from now we would read a book called the Bible, and the Bible would be about the people at Faith Memorial, or Findlay E. Free Church, right now, and we would be able to see what Dave Cass's life was like from when he was born to when he died, because now it's all written out for him, and it says this is what God did for him, with him, and to him. And then put your name into that. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to see that book and to be able to read that book in 200 years from now and to know exactly what God was doing behind the scenes? That's the privilege that some of these personages would have loved to have had. But they didn't have that capability. They didn't know the answers to their life. They were living a life like you and I are. And when life became difficult, they weren't sure where they were going. They weren't sure what life was about. They weren't sure where the end was going to come. And so here we begin the idea of what started me on this study months ago. And it was just a personal thing, but when Pastor Blair asked me to preach, I said, I have to prepare this because I believe God has placed it on my heart. And the first person that we want to look at is Rebecca. Now remember, our theme is the priorities in life. But sometimes when we go through life, we hold in our life something greater than the priorities that God has for us. We forget that God is in charge, that God has given our life, at least I believe that. And so all of a sudden we look at this first person from Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. Her name is Rebecca, and she had a priority that was higher than God's priority for her life. And I'll prove that to you in just a moment. But this Genesis 27, 46 passage says that Rebekah had the priority of marriage because it says, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. These are Canaanite women. If Jacob, who is her son, if Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be? That's what shocked me when I first read this verse. When I first read this verse, I looked at this and I said, hold it. What is Rebecca saying here? Is Rebecca saying she is going to commit suicide? Is Rebecca saying that my life is over? What is Rebecca saying by the fact that if my son does not marry the right person, then do you know what happened? My life is of no value. What good will my life be to me? So I began to do my research, because I thought, wow, that's a statement. I'm not sure what she's saying there. What is she saying? To what dimension is she saying, my life will be no good to me? And I come to find out that this is basically what Rebecca is saying. She's saying, my life is not worth living unless I have the proper marriage for my son. My life is not worth living. And then I began to think, with the emphasis of the introduction that I just shared with you, if Rebecca realized that her life was from God and that God preciously put his breath into her nostrils and gave her the life that she had, and the life that she had was something very special from God, that she would never, with this kind of attitude, say, what good is it to live life if I don't have the right marriage for my son? Basically, she's saying, whatever God you're doing in my life, in whatever area, it doesn't mean anything unless Jacob marries the right person. She just placed a priority within her own framework. Now remember, she's just a normal lady. She's just a normal mom. She's just going through life just as we all would. She doesn't know that she is being used of God to protect the line of Abraham and to protect the children of Israel down the way, because Jacob, of course, has the 12 sons and so forth. She doesn't know all that. But when she sees the situation, she looks at her husband Isaac and she said, my life is worth nothing unless my priority is fulfilled. My priority is that my son have a proper wife. Do you know what's so amazing is that Rebecca was God's choice for Isaac. Do you remember the story when the servant traveled 400 miles to find this by prayer? And the servant prayed, I want to find the right wife for my master. And he prayed, And Isaac sent him off, and as he prayed at the well, Rebekah was the one who came. Rebekah fulfilled his exact prayer request. Rebekah was in the center of her life doing the normal things of life, and yet at the same time, she was chosen of God to be the wife of Isaac. What a beautiful picture. When Rebekah went back to see Isaac, the most wonderful thing happened because she became his wife and he loved her, the Bible says. And that's every man and woman's dream on the face of the planet, to be loved by their husband, to be loved by their wife. What a beautiful love story. Then all of a sudden, Rebekah had 20 years of childlessness. She didn't have any children. But then the purpose of God, according to election, Romans 9:11 says that there was something that happened and she had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Then there was a bad thing that happened. She had a favorite, and that favorite was Jacob. And then all of a sudden, things went downhill with the family. They began to see that they weren't putting God first in their life. They were putting their own desires. Rebekah began to stand up for Jacob in a way that was dishonoring and dishonest to her own husband. Someone has said, like women everywhere, Rebekah was more than one woman. In her early years, she was a virgin, veiling herself modestly before meeting the man that she would marry. In her middle years, she was beloved wife for whom Isaac labored in prayer. But as as a mother, Rebekah played favorites. The early intimacy with Isaac was lost, and the family unity was scattered with many tragic consequences. Here we have Rebekah living a normal life, and yet at the same time, she chose that there was something more important than living her normal life, the life that God had planned for her, and she said, if my son does not get a woman from the proper genealogy or nationality, then my life isn't worth living. And you know what? The truth is, you and I get like that sometimes. Oh, the world calls it depression sometimes. The world called it loneliness. The world calls it whatever. But you know what? The fact is that there are times that you and I put our wants, our priorities, above the priorities and the wants and the desires that God has for us. And we say, life is not worth living unless I have the marriage for my son that God wants me to have. Now, it may be that God does have a design, and of course, we know through Jacob's life, which we'll see in just a few moments, that God does have a wonderful design for Jacob. But the fact is, she didn't know it at that time. And from all my research, basically what she's saying is, life is not worth living. I'd rather be dead if this doesn't happen within my life. I believe that's dishonoring to the life to which God has given us. The priority that our little quip here, our little thought that we want to leave today with, is that the priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. Number two, the priority of having children. Number two, the priority of having children, we pick out Rachel. And Rachel, in Genesis 30, verse 1, says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Once again, I do not believe that this is a statement of suicide or anything like that. It's saying that unless this is fulfilled in my life is not worth living. She is basically saying that the life that God has given me and the privileges or the lack of them is not what I want, and since they are not what I want, give me children or else I die. And we know that this is born out of envy, this is born out of jealousy, this is born out of a lack of dependence upon God. And then if you notice in verse 2 of Genesis 30, Jacob's anger burned towards Rachel, and he said, and Jacob had greater wisdom than Rachel did, because he said this, Am I in a place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? What words of wisdom from a godly man. He realized that God was in charge. Rachel was saying, it's up to you. If you don't give me children, I'm going to die. My life is not worth living unless I get what I want. And I want children. If you don't give me children, my life isn't worth living. Once again, it's a good illustration of the fact of what you and I become at times, is we place these priorities, and in this case, Rachel having children, that she says, my life's not worth living unless I get what I want. This is what's going to make me happy. Rachel, the woman of great beauty. Rachel, when she was loved by Jacob, and to find out that after 7 years that Jacob was given to another woman. Imagine the heartache there. But you know, in God's time, Rachel was given children. First, she was blessed with Joseph. Then she was blessed with Benjamin. But when she conceived Benjamin, her hopes and what she desired to do was all lost because she gave Leah the soul responsibility of raising her children because Rachel died as she was giving birth to Benjamin. It's astounding to think that so often you and I know, and we could read the whole story in the Bible and find out how God was at work behind the scenes, but the fact is that they didn't realize this. I don't believe that an angel came down. At least the Bible doesn't tell us that. They were living life like you and I are, with placing the priorities that they believed were important as being the priorities of their life even more important than the life that God had given them. Our thought for the day is the priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. How about desiring the priority of an easy life? The priority of an easy life. I have two illustrations here. I couldn't separate them. I thought we might as well talk about both of them. Elijah is the first one. An easy life. Elijah in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. Here is a man who basically stood before King Ahab and said, listen, you are worshiping Baal. You need to worship God. Of course, Ahab's wife being Jezebel, we know her well. And Jezebel was out to kill Elijah, which is why he was hiding at this point in his life. Life became hard because somebody was pursuing him and ready to take his life. Elijah dealt with the rulers, and every time Elijah did something within the story of his life, he could have had his head chopped off. He announced drought for 3 years. He proposed the test of a real God against Baal, and of course won. We know that story. Elijah pronounced Ahab's doom. Ahab's wife Jezebel began to chase him, and we find him hiding under a juniper tree. And by the way, even their son, Ahaziah, who was not fit to rule, Elijah stood in front of him and said, you will die because you have not inquired of the Lord. In each of these situations, Elijah was called to judgment, and he was a man of power, and he was a man of prestige, and he was a man who was doing what God wanted him to do, and yet we find him under the juniper tree as Jezebel is chasing him and ready to kill him. And he said, Lord, this life that you have given me is not worth living. It's become too difficult. I want an easy life, and I would rather give up this life that you have given me rather than do what you want me to do. Once again, this life, I believe that Elijah was given, and of course we know Elijah was blessed beyond, he is one of those personages that had a direct contact with God in many ways. But he's a person still within his own framework of life, living in a situation like you and I live each and every day, where he said, my life is too difficult. Life has become so difficult. I want an easy life, and so I might as well die because life is too hard to live. You and I get like that if we're not careful. Jonah is another one who wants an easy life. Jonah 4, one of the most hilarious stories, in my estimation, in the Bible is Jonah and his relationship with God in Jonah chapter 4. Therefore, the Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better than life. And the Lord said to him, do you have any good reason to be angry? Jonah's life became difficult all because of the fact that he didn't want to obey God. He didn't like God's plan for his life. Life became difficult because of the fact that he did what God wanted him to do. He sat outside the city, and he sat outside the city to watch what God was going to do to Nineveh, even though Jonah knew that God was gracious, long-suffering, kind, patient. But you know, the truth is, Jonah wanted the destruction of Nineveh. Jonah didn't love those people. Jonah didn't like those people. And so he sat outside, and when he sat outside to watch the destruction of Nineveh, life had become difficult. And God said, do you have a right to be angry over where you find yourself in this moment of life at the moment? Jonah said, sure, I do. I say, shame on you, Jonah. The priority of life is to love the life which the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. Jonah continues with a happy life. Remember when Jonah was sitting out there ready to watch the destruction of Nineveh? And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, and he begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better for me than life. You remember the story when Jonah was there, God raised a plant. And it actually says in the scripture that Jonah was happy. When Jonah was happy, but the fact is that God also sent an insect, caterpillar, whatever, to eat the plant. God was in charge. God was doing all this. Jonah said, I want to be happy in my life. I was happy with the plant. Now I'm not happy anymore. I want to be happy, or else I want to give up this thing called life that you, God, have given me. If we're not careful, we become like Jonah once again. It's because when the sun shines and the east wind blows and the sun beats down upon our heads, we become faint. And we begin to say, oh, it's just better to die than it is to live. We forget that God gave us this life that we have, and we should live our life for His honor and His glory. The priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. Jonah wants his life the way that he wants it. The priority of having life my way. I want to be happy with my plans for my life. And God, I'm not happy with you. So Jonah said to God in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9, he said, then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? Because the plant's gone now. And it's all designed by God. God did all the work of the plant, and he destroyed the plant. And Jonah said, yes, I have good reason to be angry, even unto death. Here's Jonah once again saying, I want the priority, and I want life, and I want it my way, and I want everything according to my plans. He did not have any reason to be upset about the plant, because that was all God's design behind the scenes. But he wanted that plant back, and he had good reason to be angry, because he was not having life in his way that was going to make him happy. We have to be careful at times, because this wonderful thing called life is something that God has designed and something that God has given to us, and we need to appreciate it for what He has done, not for what we want. As our little thought says, the priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. Then we have Job. The priority of Job's life is to be without pain. In Job chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "So that my soul should choose suffocation, death rather than my pains." Job is saying, pains in my life are so great. Now, let me say this about Job, because this is only a moment within this individual's life. I believe Job was a man of God. I believe Job passed the test. I believe Job came through with shining colors, and God was very pleased with him. But still, when Job was going through this, for one moment, Job thought about it, and he said, "My soul should choose suffocation rather than my pains," because the pains were so great for him. And even though Job endured suffering and he despised the advice from his counterparts, and he stood and he withstood the tests of God, yet I don't believe Job understood why this was all taking place. Job doesn't understand why it's all taking place. And at this moment of very great pain within his life, in Job 7:15, it says, "So my soul would choose suffocation, death, rather than my pains." And you know, sometimes we're just like that too. When the pain of life and the difficulty of this life that God has given us becomes so great that we say, "Lord, I just don't want to live this life anymore." Job's struggle certainly challenges us when it comes to suffering. Job's book is a wonderful book as far as suffering. Job loved God. I'm confident of that. But he sure did not understand at any point why God was putting him through this. Yet we know the end of the story, don't we? That Job received everything back and even greater. When we face the hurts of human life, let us not become despondent and say, "I do not want this life that was given to me by God who gave it to me. I'd rather not be living." The priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have, not for what we want. Another one is the priority of children, which is Jacob once again. And Jacob in Genesis 44:30 says, Now this is when Joseph is meeting the brothers and they're talking back and forth, and Joseph is making a bargain so that Joseph can see all of his family, and including his dad. And so now they're bantering back and forth, "And now therefore when I come to your servant my father," this is the brother who's talking, "and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life." In other words, Jacob loved Benjamin so much that his life was wrapped up in the life of Benjamin, and if anything happened to Benjamin, then what good would it be for Jacob's life? And in verse 22, it states it one more time, "But we say, my lord, the lad cannot leave my father, for if he should leave my father, my father would die." It's amazing to think that so often, of course, we know Jacob loved Joseph, and when Joseph died, I guess his dedication went to Benjamin. But still, that was a problem in Jacob's life. And Jacob, according to the scriptures, had such a priority in Benjamin's life that his life would not be worth living without his child, without this child being with him. And you know, if we're not careful as parents, we get so wrapped up around our children that if anything happens to our children, that our life wouldn't be useful any longer either. Sometimes the truth is that a mom and dad will be raising their children, and they raise their children for so many years, and then all of a sudden when the children are gone, the parents look at each other and they say, "Who are you? We don't even know you." Because their life has been so wrapped up in the children that they haven't lived life according to the way God wants them to live. A husband and a wife, which is a permanent relationship, and the children are just a temporary relationship. Jacob's life was wrapped up in this child, Benjamin. And it is stated that if we took this child away from him, my father will die. Meaning that his life isn't worth living unless he has Benjamin. Meaning that he found his happiness in Benjamin, not in the Lord. Folks, you and I need to be sensitive of these times in our life to where we can become what these people have said. We may not say it outright, but we live it. We live it in the fashion that we say, my life isn't worth living unless. We're not satisfied with what God has done. We're not satisfied with what God is doing. We're not satisfied with the fact that God is orchestrating all things according to His wonderful, loving, kind, merciful plan. But then I'd appreciate it if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, let's look at a man who's consumed with the right priorities. In closing, we see Paul. And Paul states in Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 25, the priority of a Christ-centered life. To where nothing in life is more important, whether it be marriage, children, jobs, health, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. As long as we have the privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where I want us to be today. This is where I want me to be today as we close this idea of looking at these people who said, the life that you gave me, Lord, is not worth living unless. And I want us to say, Lord, this life is worth living as long as you give me life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, folks, listen, there's nothing wrong with desiring death. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to it in God's time and according to God's way. But as long as God has given us life, then we are to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. And death is just gain. It's the next step. But the life that God has given us, as we established in our introduction, is a life that He has placed into us, and we want to live for His honor and His glory. Paul is determined that as he lives his life, no matter what takes place, his life is going to radiate Jesus Christ. That's what I want for us. That's my desire for me. Oh, I'm not perfect. I wrestle with these things. Life gets to me once in a while. Sure, it does. But I need to remember that for me to live is Jesus Christ, and then when that time comes that I die, it's gain for me. But I don't wish for that until it's God's design and God's time. The privilege that we have of knowing Jesus Christ and knowing we have eternal life is so special, and I hope that's true for you today, that you are confident of the fact that Jesus Christ and you are in a right relationship. Because that is so important. It gives you so much hope and so much confidence. For Paul, while he lived on this earth, he wanted to live for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ because he knew dying would be gain. He's going to see his Lord face to face. What a blessing that is. Verse 22. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. He's at a difficulty here. He's saying, well, there's things that I need to do out here on this earth, but it's so wonderful for me to go to heaven. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. I wonder, there's a struggle going on in my life. But he says this in 23, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ and end these earthly lives, these earthly difficulties, these earthly struggles, these earthly trials, these earthly pains, these earthly priorities, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Yet, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. There is equal pressure being presented on both sides of Paul's life. And Paul is trying to decide which is most important, to continue with the struggles and trials and difficulties of this life or to die. That's what we've been dealing with each one of these people. I see nothing wrong with saying each one of these people did not want to continue to live because they thought life was too difficult, life was not fulfilled without what they needed. But then Paul says in verse 25, convinced of this. Now, you know what? Paul just went through his life. He said, is it better for me to live? Is it better for me to die? Oh, to die is to be with Christ. To live is to live for the honor and glory of Christ. What should I do? I'm between the two. Paul says, convinced of this. He's bantered those things apart, and he's come to the conclusion of his life, which is the conclusion that I want you and I to have this morning. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you, all for your progress and joy in the faith. He is convinced that to live his life as God has given it in the midst of trials, struggles, difficulties is the way that God will be most pleased. Here's a wonderful translation of that last verse. And having come to this settled conviction, namely to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, I know that I shall remain and continue alive with you, all for your progress and your joy in the faith. Do you know what Paul saw? Paul saw the fact that he was given life by Jesus Christ. And by the way, Paul didn't have an easy life, did he? I wish I could have found a verse where Paul said, man, it's better. I don't want to be shipwrecked. I want to die. I don't want to be in jail. I want to die. I don't find this. But I find Paul saying this very clearly, that it's more important for me to live out my life for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, accept what God has given to me and given for me, and that I will live it in gracious thankfulness for this life that he has given me. Let's remember, the priority of life is to love the life the Lord has given us. Let us be thankful for what we have and not for what we want. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we commit this into your hands. We ask, Father, that you'll do a work in each one of our hearts as only you can. Help us to be convinced that this life that we are living is given to us by you, that, Father, that you have a plan, and that it will be fulfilled for your honor and your glory. Help us to be submissive to that plan. Help us to love you more today than we did yesterday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.